listening to the official UEFA Women's Euro 2017 podcast.
Welcome to Enschede. So after 3 weeks of action and 30 matches, it has come down to this. The Netherlands against Denmark on Sunday, 5 p.m. local time in the final. Neither side has ever reached the showpiece before, so history beckons for one. Well, I'm joined on this podcast by UEFA.com journalists Paul Saffer and Emma Ingon. An unexpected final, guys, but both teams certainly deserve to be in the showpiece.
Yeah, Denmark, whose form since reading the previous semi-finals in 2013 was frankly pretty poor. They're just about qualified for this tournament, didn't get close to the last World Cup, but actually they've done well in this tournament. In the first game against Belgium, they scored pretty early on and held on, and they got out the group well by beating Norway, knocked out Germany, which nobody has done since 1993, so that alone takes credit. And they were the better team against Austria, even if it needed penalties, and they took those penalties very well, which in a knockout tournament, not a bad thing to have in your locker, because Denmark had two games go to penalties last time, so they know how important that is. And the Netherlands, what did really well against England on Thursday was the central midfield. It was their wing play, really, earlier on in the tournament. But against England, who were missing Jill Scott in the central midfield, the Netherlands were able to take control of that area through Danielle van der Donk and Jackie Groenen. And they also took their chance very well, Vivian Miedema at the start particularly. And that's what England were doing well earlier in the tournament. That's what the Netherlands did best. In front of a huge crowd, they took energy from it, and they weren't the team that made mistakes.
Yeah, I agree with Paul. I thought the Netherlands were the better team against England. And I thought I was quite surprised to see how well they did in the air, especially how England was so strong in the air against France. They got all the balls against France. And Thursday night, the Netherlands just won the ball in the air all the time. So how Millie Bright was so strong against France, I thought she wasn't against the Netherlands, but probably because of the talent and the quality of the Dutch team.
Get involved and follow the tournament on Twitter at UEFA Women's Euro.
Okay, let's start by looking more closely at the Netherlands. Five games at their home tournament and five wins, which is a wonderful record. They topped their group ahead of Denmark, dispatched Sweden in the quarterfinals, and then produced their best performance so far in the last four against England, as you guys mentioned.
Here's Groenen. Van der Sanders in the middle this time. It's deep towards Martins. It's headed back across by Miedema. And the Dutch have the lead in the semi-final.
Bronze with the header.
Oh, and that was an ambitious header back, and it wasn't a clever one. And Danielle van der Donk of Arsenal maybe ends England's dreams of glory at Euro 2017.
Still time maybe for the Dutch to make it three. Miedema, and it's played back across, and it is three.
Martins it was who swept it in. Millie Bright is really unfortunate, and the Netherlands goes through to the final of Euro 2017. The hosts are there.
You're both at that match in Enschede, 27, almost 28,000 there. Just how impressive were the Dutch against, remember, a team again, England were the favourites, just like Germany and France before them were the favourites. They've all fallen by the wayside, and now surely we have to say that the Dutch are the favourites, the new favourites to win the tournament, given how they played.
Well, definitely, I'd already beaten Denmark after all in this tournament. I'll develop the point I made before. The fact was, it was a huge crowd. None of the players would have played in front of a crowd like that supporting them. They would have experienced the other side of it in Canada at the World Cup, quite a lot of them. But they really took energy from that crowd. As you said, it was England that made mistakes ultimately and not the Netherlands. They played, from their point of view, an almost perfect game. They probably don't have the overall team as good as England. Probably, I mean, they ranked ninth before this tournament. They've probably only got maybe the fifth or sixth best team overall, but they're in the final for the reason. That's because they've played best in this tournament. They stopped England from playing the game they want to play, from supplying Jody Taylor, and also, sorry, Van Vevenval as well, managed to make a crucial save from Jody Taylor from just the sort of position Jody Tate's been scoring from. Of course, they both play against each other quite a lot in training at Arsenal.
They do. Another person who's going to join them in London is Netherlands star striker Vivian Miedema, who has moved from Bayern to Arsenal before this tournament. She didn't score in the group stage, but it's now 2-2 in the knockouts, and she is understandably delighted to be in the showpiece.
We've dreamed about it, and we've dreamed to come in the final, and yeah, after today's game, we're just in the final, and can't really believe it yet, I think, but we just have 2 days in between, and we just need to be ready for Sunday right now.
Emma, it was probably the one thing missing earlier in the tournament, Miedema to score. Now she has. How important is she going to be on Sunday?
Well, she's going to be as important as Jodie Taylor was to England before the semi-final. You need to score goals to win a game of football. So now she's got the right frame of mind. She scored, and that's what scorers need. They need to score more. So now she's going to be spurred on. And with the crowd behind her, I think she can do very well on Sunday.
Well, these two teams have already met in this tournament in the group stage. It seems an age ago. Here's what happened.
Here is van der Donk. Down she goes. And the penalty is given. And it's Sherida Spitzer to give the Netherlands the lead, which she does. Van der Glap with the clearance, Harder again, and it's cleared away as far as Christiansen, and here is Troels' goal, cleared off the line. Denmark so close to the equalising goal once again. Everybody back for the Netherlands. It's cleared away as far as Troels' goal, and it's 2 wins out of 2 for the host nation. But my, they had to work very, very hard for this one.
So it finished 1-0 to the Netherlands on match day 2 in Rotterdam. Daniela van der Donk is expecting a very different match this time around, though.
They had to win against us. That game we were winning, so they had to do something. So they dropped one extra player in the front, so that made it a bit difficult for us. So that's why it was a difficult game for us, I reckon. I think this game's going to be a bit different.
Daniela van der Donk there, who's been another of the Netherlands' best performers so far. What do you think then, Paul? Does that group stage match have any impact, the Dutch winning it 1-0?
Well, it was only a penalty that decided the game. It was the closest, in fact, anyone's come to the Netherlands, really, because although it was also a one-goal win against Norway and Belgium, probably they were quite comfortable winners of both those games, less so against Denmark. I don't think it matters hugely. There's 17 days between the games. We've seen quite a lot in the Euro format. You see teams play once, then play again. Netherlands will no doubt remember it back in Euro 88. They lost their group game to the Soviet Union, but it didn't make a difference when they played in the final. It is a new occasion. Much bigger crowd, but what probably is more important that Denmark have that game against Germany under their belts, and I think that's been a bit of a transformation for them, because they weren't tremendous in the group stage, but that win is a huge difference, because that's far more than they've ever achieved before.
I'm glad you mentioned Euro 88, because I was going to bring it up. You know, that is still the only Dutch success at a major tournament. Of course, they lost the World Cup final in South Africa not too long ago, and I was on the fan walk, and it really felt like the whole nation thought, this is a big game all of a sudden now. We're in the semi-finals. And one imagines that ahead of the final, it'll be even bigger. And as I mentioned, a chance for a second piece of major silverware for this country.
A final is never the same game as any other game. The players can say whatever they want. They can say it's any other game, we'll prepare the same way. It's not the same game. The crowd will be behind. We saw it in the semi-final already. And as Paul mentioned, Denmark went through that reference game against Germany since the game they lost against the Netherlands in the group stage. So the final, it's a bit like a Clásico in the men's game. It doesn't matter if one team is having a bad season or not. The Clásico will be a different game, and a final is a completely different game.
Got some stats for you. So Netherlands, first host to reach the final since Germany in 2001, 16 years ago. And we've mentioned the crowd, 27,093 on Thursday, biggest ever attendance for a women's match in Netherlands, beating the opening match when they triumphed against Norway. And also, Paul, the biggest ever Euro semi-final attendance. So some of the grounds have been smaller, but when the Netherlands have played, this sort of sea of orange that comes to support them really has been a key factor in them getting this far.
They have. They've sold out all their games, which is actually unprecedented. Even last time in Sweden, there were some great crowds, but not every Sweden game was actually a sellout. But this time it has been, and that's how they've captured imagination. We've seen the thousands on the fan walks and the viewing figures they've got as well. It's been about 50% shares, and they're not the only country have got huge viewing figures, but of course it means more because it's happened here and everyone's been able to show it. There were lots of orange in Enskede on Thursday before the game. It kind of reminds me of when I've been at men's tournaments in, I'm thinking Euro 2008, I saw quite a few of the Dutch games in Bern, also Euro 96 when they came to London as well, and it was kind of similar there in terms of numbers, just number of people you saw in orange. And as I've said before, what the team have done really well is they've used it. They've not let it intimidate them. They've not let the pressure get to them. They've actually used it as encouragement for them. And not every host nation is able to do that. And after all, as we're saying, it's only Germany in 2001 since they brought in the group stage that they even got to the final as hosts. And that's including countries like Sweden, England, big football nations who have hosted this tournament and not got that far.
I just wonder as well, the fact that the Dutch men's team didn't qualify for Euro in France. They're struggling maybe to get to Russia. There has been a sense of missing big, major international fixtures. Well, they're in this one, certainly, on Sunday. It was quite funny earlier in the UEFA.com office when the man in charge, the important man in charge of ticketing, came running in and said, can we take down that article on UEFA.com, which says that tickets are still available, because it had sold out inside 11 hours from the final whistle of the semi-final. OK, Emma, your key player, then, for the Netherlands in this match on Sunday?
Lieke Mertens. For me, she will hopefully provide the goals. Maybe not score herself, but she will provide the goals for the country.
I might go with Danielle van der Donk, just because she really runs things in the middle. She was the best player in the semi-final against England. Lots of people talk about the front three, but it'll be nothing unless they're able to get control of the midfield, and that's what she'll do.
Follow UEFA Women's Euro 2017 on UEFA.com.
On to Denmark then. Like the Netherlands, this is their first ever final after they broke their last four hoodoo on Thursday in dramatic fashion.
What a chance here for Sara Puntigam in the semi-final of Euro 2017. It's Puntigam! A terrible penalty. It's a nice touch from Nadim, but Trulsgaard was on her heels, but now it's given away to her as Trulsgaard's effort, and it's off the woodwork. And penalties it will be. Lorena Aschauer against Stina Lieke Pedersen, and it's saved again. Three misses for Austria, and Denmark are a penalty away. And it's one of their senior players, Simone Boy-Sørensen. This for a place in the final. And she's done it! Denmark are through to the Euro final for the first time in their history.
Penalty queens then against the surprise package Austria, who we have to pay wonderful credit to, reaching the last four against all the odds. But after five semi-final defeats, Denmark have finally made it through to the final. And it was a penalty shootout, Paul, but fair to say, over the course of the 120 minutes, they probably deserved it.
Absolutely. Austria did actually have a penalty early in the game, but after that, it was pretty much all Denmark. Okay, they didn't manage to force the goal, but they were the better team going into the shootout. And of course, they were clearly the better team in the shootout because they scored 3 out of 4. Austria scored none whatsoever. And the Denmark penalties, particularly with Nadia and Nadim, were of the highest quality. And Denmark, as we said before, they know all about penalty heartbreak from 2013. They lost in the semi-finals against Norway, having actually knocked out France on penalties before that. But unlike those games, those were both games where Denmark were not the better team, really. They were definitely the better team against Austria, who, it should be said, did magnificent. Nobody thought they'd get to the semi-final. That's the even bigger surprise than having a Netherlands-Denmark final, was that Austria qualified for the first time. Not really expected them to get out of their group. Not sure they did. But they came within a penalty shootout of the final. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think 12,000 people watched the semi-final in Vienna on a big screen, which just, if you'd said that at the start of the tournament, I don't think many would have believed you. So, as we heard, their goalkeeper Stina Pettersson was the hero. But she admitted afterwards she was praying it didn't go as far as the shootout.
I didn't want it to happen. During the game, I said to myself, no penalties? I'm not ready. I had a bad feeling. But they hit the first one over the goal, then I saved two. It was incredible.
Yeah, unglaublich.
So Pettersson grabbing the headlines. Pernilla Harder, though, was superb again. Emma, I know you saw her live against Germany. She, of course, plays her club football for Wolfsburg. And in terms of a captain leading from the front, I think she's been as important as anyone, frankly, in this whole tournament. She's really dragged her team at times to the final.
Hi, Chris, I agree with that. She's the captain and she's leading the way. She looks really composed, and that's what the Danish team needs.
What's impressed as well, she's not scored in this tournament. She didn't actually score in the last Women's Euro either, but that's not let her affect her play, and she's shown she's got a lot more to her game than the goal scoring, and that's a really effective partnership she's got up front with Nadia Nadim, who's really playing at her absolute peak out here.
Well, after the game, Harder was asked what makes this Denmark team so special.
We just believe in ourselves and we are never satisfied. I mean, we want to be better all the time and we want to win. We were not satisfied with going to the semi-final. We wanted to go to the final. And now we also want to win the final.
Who's going to be the key player for this Denmark team? Are they going to have much of the ball given the way that the Netherlands play?
Probably look to Stina Pettersson in goal, as you say. Not for the first time, she was the penalty shootout hero against Austria. She did it in 2013 as well against France. And she does make vital saves. I mean, she has made one bad error as well in this competition against Germany, but the team was still able to bounce back and she played excellently after that. And there are going to be Netherlands chances, and I think they really need her to be at the top. So they're going to get all the way, whether it's in 90 minutes, whether it's on penalties. Stina Pettersson is going to be the key player.
Yeah, and for me, it's going to be Nadia Nadim, because she's going to have to lead the way in the attack. So she's going to need to score the goals for Denmark.
Yeah, she probably will, unless they go for a set piece, potentially. My only stat for this one still comes to the semi-final, Paul. Germany, champions of Europe for 22 years before Denmark knocked them out. And now they are 90 minutes potentially away from replacing Germany as the new European champions. Can they do it?
Well, they certainly can. I mean, often we see in a lot of sports, the team that knocks out the champions then find they've already played their final and they get beaten. Whether it's Netherlands already played their final by beating England, who knows? I suppose both teams have proved themselves by getting to the final. There's no doubt Netherlands have played the better football of the two teams. The Netherlands have been more convincing of the two teams. Even if we take out the fact they've actually beaten Denmark in this tournament, the Netherlands have played their absolute peak. I think everyone has. I don't know if this Netherlands team can ever play better than they played here. And they've done it at absolutely the right time. And even if some other teams have been knocked out for them, like France and Germany, it doesn't really matter, because they beat the teams that beat them, or they'll have to against Denmark, and they'll be fully deserving champions. They will, after all, have won every single game they played in the tournament if they lift a trophy.
Yeah, as I said previously, you have to be careful because this tournament is not a favourites tournament.
It's funny, you were desperate to get that in, because you told me that as a warning to England, and I sort of believed you, and then it happened. Netherlands were comfortable victors. But it's a fair point, isn't it, that the unexpected happened throughout this tournament, basically from match one, when the Dutch beat Norway, who would, of course, have reached the final 4 years ago.
I have a kind of a deja vu from 2016 in France. France reached the final, brilliantly played actually their final against Germany in the semi-final, and then completely collapsed in the final. So be careful, Netherlands. You're at home, you have the crowd with you, but just be composed and like enjoy every moment.
1 year on, you can tell in Emma's voice there, that still hurts, that Edair winner for Portugal in UEFA Euro 2016. It is prediction time then. I want the score prediction and of course, who's going to win.
3-1 to the Netherlands.
I'll go for a 0-0. I know I'm not going to be very popular, but it's going to be played on penalties.
And who's going to win?
Oof, I can't say that. It's
sitting on the fence. Okay, well, I'm going to jump in. I also think the Netherlands will have enough. I think they might win by 2-0. So it's 2-2, and then I'm not sure what Emma's predicting anyway, but she's predicting a long afternoon. It does kick off at 5 p.m, and you can find out on Sunday exactly how wrong all of us were. Kick-off, as I mentioned, 5 p.m. local time here in Enschede, and we'll be back after the match to review the showpiece Will it be the Netherlands or Denmark's year?
You've been listening to the official UEFA Women's Euro 2017 podcast.